بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى، وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، خصوصا على سيد الأنبياء وإمام الرسل سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا وقرة أعيننا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، يقول الله تبارك وتعالى في كلامه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد: والسابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار والذين اتبعوهم بإحسان رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه وأعد لهم جنات تجري تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها أبدا. ويقول سبحانه: لا يستوي منكم من أنفق من قبل الفتح وقاتل أولئك أعظم درجة من الذين أنفقوا من بعد وقاتلوا وكلا وعد الله الحسنى. ويقول سبحانه: محمد رسول الله والذين معه أشداء على الكفار رحماء بينهم، إلى آخر الآية. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: إن ابن مضعون لحيي 60. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم. ربي يسر ولا تعسر، وتمم بالخير، وبك نستعين يا فتاح. اللهم صل على محمد، اللهم صل على محمد، اللهم صل على محمد. Among the great companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was Uthman bin Mad'un radiyallahu an. He is different than the famous great companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the third Khalifa Rashida, the one who had the distinction of being the son-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam not once, but twice. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, if I had more daughters, I would have given all of them to him. And that is Uthman bin Affan radiyallahu anhu, Dhun-Nurayn. This is Uthman radiyallahu anhu, the son of Mad'un, who was the son of Habib, who was the son of Wahab, who was the son of Hudhafa, who was the son of Jumah, who was the son of Amr, who was the son of Husayis, who was the son of Ka'ab, who was the son of Luay, who was the son of Ghalib. He belonged to the tribe of Banu Jumah, a sub-branch of the large Quraysh tribe. Hence, he was Al-Jumahi Al-Qurashi. His mother was Sukhayla, the daughter of Ambas, who was the son of Wahban, who was the son of Wahab, who was the son of Hudhafa, who was the son of Jumah. And the lineage of his mother meets up with his father in Wahab. And the lineage of both of his parents meet up with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in Ka'ab. He was among the early Muslims. كَانَ مِنَ الْأَوَائِلَ الَّذِينَ قَدْ أَسْلَمُوا. Hence he was among the أَسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ. And the famous saying is, الْفَضْلُ لِلْمُتَقَدِّمِ. Virtue belongs to the one who is the forerunner, the one who is early in doing anything. He, along with four other companions, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, Abdul Rahman bin Auf, Abu Ubaidah bin al-Jarrah, Abu Ubaidah bin al-Harith, Abu Salama bin Abdul Asad, all of them went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and accepted Islam at the same time. This was prior to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam starting the efforts of his da'wah and ta'aleem in Darul Arqam. So this was in the early stages of Islam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he began doing the efforts of his da'wah and ta'aleem in Darul Arqam when the difficulties and the persecution of the mushrikeen against the Muslims was too much. So then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the believers, they would congregate in the house of Al-Arqam radiyallahu an, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would do the efforts of his da'wah and ta'aleem from there. So this is one of the distinctions of Uthman bin Mad'un radiyallahu an. He is among the early Muslims. Secondly, during the fifth year of the prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, some of the companions, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, migrated to Habasha. So he was appointed the Amir of this group. So they stayed there for some time, and then the false news spread that all of the Quraysh have accepted Islam. So then all of the companions, they decided to come back to Mecca. When they reached near Mecca, they found out that this news is false. So now it was very difficult for them to go back to Habasha, it's too far. But at the same time, it is difficult for them to enter Mecca. If they enter Mecca, they will be tortured and persecuted by the mushrikeen. So this is when all of the companions, under the protection of their relatives or friends in Mecca, entered Mecca. So did Uthman bin Mad'un radiallahu an. He entered Mecca under the protection of Walid bin Mughira. So Walid bin Mughira, he was among the leaders of the Quraysh in Mecca. So because of his influence, Uthman bin Mad'un radiallahu anhu was protected from the persecution of the mushrikeen. However, he could not live in peace knowing that his own messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his own companions ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in are facing difficulties at the hands of the mushrikeen while he is living comfortably and peacefully in Mecca under the protection of a mushrik. This is when he started to reproach and rebuke himself, saying, "O self, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his companions and your own relatives and your own colleagues, they are facing difficulties at the hands of the mushrikeen while you are living in the same city, but you are protected and you are in a state of peace and comfort under the protection of a mushrik. Indeed, this is a great weakness of your nafs." This thought bothered and perturbed him to such an extent that he went immediately to Walid bin Mughira and said, "O Abu Abd Shams, your responsibility and guarantee of protecting me has been completed. Until now I have been under your protection, but from today I prefer and I would like to be under the protection of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am no longer in need of your protection." Walid bin Mughira said, "Perhaps someone has caused difficulty to you. They have harassed you." He said, "No. The matter of the fact is, I do not want anyone's protection other than the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So just as you announced in the Kaaba that I am under your protection, come with me to the Kaaba and announce in front of everyone that now Uthman bin Mad'un is no longer under my protection. He does not need my protection anymore." So Walid bin Mughira, he didn't want to do this, but due to the persistence of Uthman bin Mad'un radiallahu an, he eventually had to comply. He took Uthman bin Mad'un radiallahu an, and in front of the Kaaba, he made this announcement in front of everyone that from today, Uthman bin Mad'un is no longer under my protection. So then Uthman bin Mad'un radiallahu anhu, he stood up and he affirmed it and he said, "O people, I have found Walid bin Mughira to be very loyal and very merciful towards me. However, I feel no need to be under his protection. For me, the example of my messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his companions is enough." So saying this, he went with Labid bin Rabi'ah to a gathering and assembly of the Quraysh. Who was Labid bin Rabi'ah? He was one of the famous poets of the time. So when they reached the gathering, he started saying some of his poetry. When he reached the poetic verse, which is very famous, and this poetic verse, even Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would do iqtibas with. He would quote it, as it appears in the Shama'il. So he famously said, "Ala kullu shay'in ma khalallaha batilu." Listen, everything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is false. So when he said this, Uthman bin Mad'un radiallahu anhu, in a state of extreme joy and happiness, said, "Sadaqta." You have spoken the truth. But when he said the next part, "Wa kullu na'imin la mahala tazailu," every bounty will inevitably perish and come to an end. This is when Uthman bin Mad'un radiallahu anhu immediately said, "Kadhabta." You have spoken a lie. So all of the people in the gathering, they started to look at Uthman radiallahu anhu, Uthman bin Mad'un radiallahu anhu, with eyes of anger disapproval, and they requested him to repeat the line of poetry again. So he repeated the line of poetry again, Uthman bin Mad'un radiallahu anhu, to the first line, Ala kullu shay'in ma khalallaha batilu, everything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is false. He said, Sadaqta, you have spoken the truth. But when he said, Wa kullu na'imin la mahala tazailu, every bounty inevitably will perish and come to an end, he said, you have spoken a lie. Kadabta, for the bounties of Jannah will never come to an end. So Labid bin Rabi'a was very upset. He said, O Quraysh, this used to not be the condition of your gathering. What has happened? So this caused the Quraysh to become even more angry at Uthman bin Mad'un radiallahu anhu. One of them, he leaped and jumped towards Uthman bin Mad'un radiallahu anhu and slapped him so hard on his face that one of his eyes became pale. So then the Quraysh said to him, when you were under the protection of Walid bin Mughira, you had a lot of honor. If you had to remain under his protection, then today you would have been saved from this humiliation of being slapped in front of everyone. He said, the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the cause of the greatest honor and safety. My other eye is desirous and is wishing that it also joins its companion in being hurt and attacked and humiliated like how the other eye has been attacked. So this is when Walid bin Mughira said to him, you can still come under my protection. I will protect you and I'll take you back under my protection. He said, the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sufficient for me. So from this we can gauge the level of yaqeen and tawakkul of Uthman bin Mad'un radiallahu anhu. So this was also one of his distinctions. When the time of Hijrah to Medina came, he, along with a few family members, had migrated. So one of his distinctions is that a lot of people in his family also accepted Islam. So this was a rare distinction among the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum ajma'in. One of the greatest sacrifices of the companions, ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, is that most of them, most of their family members themselves did not accept Islam. So this is something that the Sahaba used to mention to their students in their gatherings. And it is due to the sacrifice of the Sahaba and the Muslims of the earlier generations that today we are sitting as Muslims with many family members and relatives. This is actually the sacrifice of all of the Muslims who came before us. So we should not forget their sacrifice. And we are taught this in the Quran, رَبَّنَا غْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ, to make dua of maghfira for all of the Muslims who came before us and paved the way for us. For if it was not for their sacrifice, we would not have been Muslims today. So when he migrated along with his brother Qudama bin Mad'un radiallahu an, and Abdullah bin Mad'un radiallahu an, and his son Sa'ib bin Uthman bin Mad'un radiallahu an. He had two sons, Sa'ib and Abdurrahman. This is the reason why he was also referred to as Abu Sa'ib. This was his kunya, his patronym. In Arabic, the word is kunyatun, and the plural is al-kuna. In Urdu, we say kunniyat, but in Arabic, it is kunyatun. So this is a distinction in the culture of the Arabs. Even in the Jahiliyyah and after Islam, and this culture continued, wherein they would give a patronym to their sons and their daughters. So the patronym for the son would be like Abu Fulan, the patronym of the daughter would be Ummu Fulan. So when his family migrated, they initially stayed in the house of Abdullah bin Salama al-Ajalani. And then because their family was too big and large, they had to move. And this is when Ummul Ala al-Ansariyah radiallahu anha took his entire family into her home. She says, radiyallahu anha, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the companions of him, radiyallahu anhu, migrated to Medina, all of the Ansar argued with one another. They all wanted to take all of the Muhajirin into their homes and take care of them. So obviously, this is not practical, and it would be difficult and inconvenient for any one family to take in all of the Muhajirin. So then she says, how did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam decide between the Ansar? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, we will draw lots, and whosoever name comes in the lot of any Muhajir, they will take that family. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says regarding the feeling and behavior and treatment of the Muhajirin towards the Ansar in the Quran, يُحِبُّونَ مَنْ هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَا يَجِدُونَ فِي صُدُورِهِمْ حَاجَةً مِمَّا أُوتُوا وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةً وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةً. They loved those who migrated to their homelands, and they did not feel any discomfort or any ill feeling towards those who migrated to their lands, that now we have to share our property and our land and our possessions with them. They did not feel that they are burdened for them. Rather, they loved them, and they took this as an opportunity to earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to such an extent. وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةً. They preferred them even over themselves, despite them suffering severe poverty and destitution and hunger. They would prefer the Ansar over their own selves and their own children. So the incidents of the Ithar, of the preference of the Ansar to the Muhajirin and their sacrifices for their sake are well known. وَمَنْ يُوقَ شُحَّ نَفْسِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. He who has been protected from the selfishness of his own nafs, those who have been protected from the selfishness of their own selves and their nafs, they are the true successful and prosperous ones. So because the name of Uthman bin Maz'un radiallahu anhu came under the lot and share of Ummul Ala al-Ansariyah radiallahu anha, she took his whole family in. So Uthman bin Maz'un radiallahu anhu's family, and the family of Qudama, his brother, the family of his other brother, Abdullah, and the family of his son, Sa'ib. So obviously, the family was very big and large, so it was not convenient for Ummul Ala al-Ansariyah radiallahu anha to take all of them in, but she took them in. But Rasulullah didn't feel comfortable that so many people are living in one house. So then eventually Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam designated separate properties and lands for each brother and their family. Another thing that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did when the Sahaba migrated to Medina is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam paired up a Ansari with a Muhajir. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam created a bond of brotherhood between an Ansari and Muhajir. This is known as Mu'akhatun. So it was the responsibility of the Ansari to take care of the Muhajir and his family to such an extent that the Muhajir would even inherit from the Ansari when he would pass away. And then when the Muhajirin were settled and established and they were able to stand on their own two feet, this is when the ruling of inheritance was abrogated through the verse وَأُولُو الْأَرْحَامِ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلَى بِبَعْضٍ فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ. Those who are related by blood are more deserving and rightful of inheritance according to the decree and decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his book than those who are not related by blood. So who was the Sahabi Ansari radiallahu an with whom Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam created a brotherhood with Uthman bin Maz'un radiallahu an? He was Abu al-Haytham bin at-Tayyihan radiallahu an. Abu al-Haytham bin At-Tayyihan radiyallahu an. So perhaps the reason why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam paired him up with him is because both of them were similar in personality and in temperament. So both of them, they had a dislike for sin and vice even before accepting Islam in the Jahiliyyah. Abu al-Haytham bin At-Tayyihan radiyallahu an was among the individuals who disliked idols even before accepting Islam in the Jahiliyyah, and he would complain about the people who would worship idols and criticize them, and he had proclaimed the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Jahiliyyah before even accepting Islam. He believed in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Uthman bin Maz'un radiyallahu anhu, one of his distinctions is he was among the individuals who even before accepting Islam in the Jahiliyyah never drank wine, and he regarded it to be a vice. He used to famously say that I will not drink anything that will cause me to lose my intellect and will cause someone lowly to make fun of me, and will cause me, due to being intoxicated, to not differentiate between my wife and my mother and my daughter and my sister. There is no need for me to drink something like this. So perhaps we are well aware that khamr, wine, was made haram in Islam gradually, because the Arabs in the Jahiliyyah were addicted to wine. So if wine had to be made haram immediately, no one would have been able to leave it. This is the statement of Aisha radiallahu anha. So initially, in the beginning of Islam, khamr was permissible, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alluded to it being something that is not good to drink, and it is not wise for the wise and the intelligent ones to drink. وَمِن ثَمَرَاتِ النَّخِيلِ وَالْأَعْنَابِ تَتَّخِذُونَ مِنْهُ سَكَرًا وَرِزْقًا حَسَنًا إِنَّ فِي ذَٰلِكَ لَآيَةً لِقَوْمٍ يَعْقِلُونَ. From date palms and from grapes, you make an intoxicant from it. Minhu, أي من المذكور بتأويل كل واحد منهما. So it is referring to both من ثمرات النخيل والأعناب. So that's why it is minhu instead of minhuma, but it is referring to both of them. And then Allah Ta'ala says, وَرِزْقًا حَسَنًا, and good provision. So how is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alluding to it being halal while it being something that someone who is wise and smart should not drink? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions rizqan hasanan after sakaran. وَالْعَطْفُ يَقْتَضِي الْمُغَايَرَةِ. So it is rizqan hasanan, ay rizqan halalan for now, but it is something that is an intoxicant. It is not something that is good for you, although it may be halal for now. إِنَّ فِي ذَٰلِكَ لَآيَةً لِقَوْمٍ يَعْقِلُونَ. Indeed, in that there is a sign for those who are smart and intelligent, and those who possess intellect, they themselves will understand that although this is halal, we should not be drinking it. So after this verse was revealed, many of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in, despite it still being halal, they stopped drinking wine, because they realized that this is not something that someone who is smart should be doing. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made khamr halal, but made khamr haram, but it was situational and occasional. It was not made haram altogether at once. So this is when the verse was revealed, that O believers, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَقْرَبُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَأَنْتُمْ سُكَارَى. O believers, do not come close to salah, do not approach salah, let alone pray salah, while you are intoxicated. So then the ruling was, you can drink khamr, but you shouldn't drink khamr before performing salah. So after this verse was revealed, many of the companions had stopped drinking wine, because they said to themselves, that if this is something that we should not be drinking before salah, we should not drink this at all. This is not something that is good. And then finally, when Rasulullah ﷺ migrated to Medina Munawwara, after a couple of years, the final verse was revealed, wherein khamr was made haram ila yawm al-qiyamah. يا أيها الذين آمنوا إنما الخمر والميسر والأنصاب والأزلام رجس من عمل الشيطان فاجتنبوه لعلكم تفلحون. O believers, indeed wine and gambling and idols are a defilement, utter defilement, impurity, spiritual impurity from the action of the devil, thus refrain from it لعلكم تفلحون, so that perhaps you may attain success in the dunya, deen, and akhirah. So when this verse was revealed, it comes in the books of Sirah that the streets of Medina was flooding with wine. That means all of the Sahaba who had barrels of wine in their house, they immediately threw them into the streets. So there was a flood of khamr in Medina. And close to this time, the ayah of hijab was revealed. Ya ayyuha an-nabiyyu qul li azwajika wa banatika wa nisa'il mu'minina yudnina 'alayhinna min jalabibihin in Surah Al-Ahzab. It comes in the books of Sirah that when this verse was revealed, and the sahabiyat radiyallahu anhunna who were walking on the streets, they immediately started to walk by the side of the road to such an extent that they were rubbing their shoulders by the buildings and walls, and they immediately covered their face, and they ran into their homes. So what is it that caused the Sahaba to immediately throw away all of the barrels of their khamr, despite it being something that they were addicted to culturally? And then what caused the Sahabiyat to immediately follow the injunction of covering themselves to such an extent that they started running towards the side of the road and rubbing their shoulders by the walls and covering their faces and immediately entering their homes? Despite this being a practice that they had never done before, it was because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam built up their iman to such an extent in the first 13 years of Mecca and then the few initial years of Medina, that because of their quwwah imaniyah and the result of the tarbiyah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when these rulings were given to them, they had immediately accepted it. So it is iman that causes one to practice upon the injunctions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whether it be a injunction that pertains to ma'murat, the things that we are commanded to do, or whether it be the injunctions that pertain to the matrukat, the things that we have been forbidden not to do. Another distinction of Uthman bin Mad'un radiyallahu an is that he was very modest. He had a lot of haya. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Al-haya'u shu'batun min al-iman. Haya and modesty and bashfulness is a great branch of iman. Murana Mumtaz al-Haq sahab rahimahullah, who was a khalifa of Arif Billah, Murana Hakim Akhtar sahab rahimahullah, used to famously say that in the English language there isn't a proper word in translation that can fully encompass the word haya, because in their culture they don't have this concept. So that's why in their language also there isn't any word that can fully reflect the meaning of haya. So that we can say modesty and everything, but like this is not the actual translation of haya. So Uthman bin Mad'un radiyallahu anhu, he was someone who had a lot of haya. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam once said regarding him, إِنَّ ابْنَ مَضْعُونٍ لَحَيِّيٌّ سِتِّيرٌ. Indeed, the son of Mad'un, Uthman radiyallahu anhu, he is most surely someone who has a lot of haya, and he covers up a lot. Radiallahu anhu. So this is one of his distinctions. Another distinction of Uthman ibn Maz'un radiallahu anhu is that he had such a severe desire for the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and a yearning for it that it made him completely disinclined and disinterested in the dunya and its pleasures. He had designated a room in his house for worship wherein he would do i'tikaf the whole day and night. So he would fast throughout the day and stand in prayer throughout the night, and he would sit in his room for the whole day and night in worship. Once the wife of Uthman bin Maz'un radiallahu anhu visited Aisha radiallahu anha, Ummul Mu'mineen, Aisha as-Siddiqah bintu as-Siddiq radiallahu anhumah. And she was wearing shabby, untidy clothes. So Aisha radiallahu anha said, "Why is this your external condition? Whereas your husband, there is no one more rich and affluent than him among the Quraysh in Mecca." She said, "My husband has no need for me. He fasts the whole day and he stands in prayer the whole night." So Aisha radiallahu anha informed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam of this. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam immediately went to Uthman bin Maz'un radiallahu anhu. At the time, he was sitting in his room in i'tikaf. Uthman bin Maz'un radiallahu anhu was. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam called him and said, "Ya Uthman ibn Maz'un, inna Allah lam yab'athni bil rahbaniyya. Wa fi riwayatin, lam tuktab alayna al-rahbaniyya." O Uthman bin Maz'un, indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not send me with the lifestyle of the Christian monks. In another narration, indeed, we, the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in our religion, we have not been prescribed the lifestyle of the Christian monks. Inna khayra ad-din 'inda Allahi as-samhatu al-hanifiyya. Indeed, the best religion in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that which is upright, which is free from shirk and the elements of shirk, and it is easy, and there is no undue burden and difficulty that goes against the nature of being a human, like we find in the lifestyle of the Christian monks and in Christianity. This is the distinction of the deen of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and a distinction of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was the perfect example of right balance and moderation. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam fulfilled the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while simultaneously together also fulfilled the rights of the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without one overstepping into the other. So then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to him, "Ama laka fiyya uswatun?" Do you not find in me a good example to follow? For indeed, I go to my wives, I eat meat. There are days that I observe the voluntary fast. There are days when I don't observe the voluntary fast. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to him, "Inna li aynayka alayka haqqan, wa inna li jasadika alayka haqqan, wa inna li ahlika alayka haqqan, fasalli wa nim wa sum wa aftir." Indeed, your eyes have a right upon you, your body has a right upon you, your wife and children and your family have a right upon you. Thus, pray the voluntary fast at night, but also go to sleep. And on some days, observe the voluntary fast, and on some days, don't observe it. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the mafhum and ma'ana of which is, "Do you think you are more pious than me? You fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than me? فَوَاللَّهِ إِنَّ أَخْشَاكُمْ لِلَّهِ وَأَحْفَظُكُمْ لِحُدُودِهِ لَأَنَا." Wallahi, from all of you, I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the most. And from all of you, I preserve and maintain the bounds and the ahkam of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the most. But I do this while having the right balance and moderation, fulfilling the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala along with fulfilling the rights of His ibad. The accepted general principle in our deen is حُقُوقُ الْعِبَادِ مُقَدَّمٌ عَلَىٰ حُقُوقِ اللَّهِ بِأَمْرِ اللَّهِ. The rights of حُقُوقُ الْعِبَادِ مُقَدَّمٌ عَلَىٰ حُقُوقِ اللَّهِ بِأَمْرِ اللَّهِ. The rights of the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are mandatory, the mandatory rights of the ibad of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holds precedence and is given preference over those rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are voluntary and they are not obligatory or mandatory. This is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we find this in the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another distinction of Uthman ibn Maz'un radiallahu anh is that he was among the Sahaba who participated in the Battle of Badr. So he was min al-Badriyin. And the companions who participated in the Battle of Badr, they hold a separate distinction among the companions. Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. So after the Battle of Badr, when he came back home, in the same year he fell sick, and then he eventually succumbed to this illness, and he passed away, radiyallahu ta'ala an. So after he passed away, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself performed his salatul janazah. And at the time, there was no graveyard for the Muslims in Medina. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam chose the location of Al-Baqi' for the graveyard of the Muslims. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam participated in the burial of Uthman ibn Maz'un radiyallahu an, and he was the first companion to be buried in this location. أَوَّلُ مَنْ دُفِنَ بِالْبَقِيَ. And this graveyard is known as Jannatul Baqi'. Anyone who is buried here, it is a sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that inshallah his state will be good in the afterlife. So it is not in the decree of everyone to be buried here. It happens only by the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had placed a stone by the head of the grave of Uthman bin Mab'un radiallahu anhu and said, هَذَا فَرَطُنَا. He has preceded us and went ahead of us into the life of the hereafter and into Jannah inshallah. And then from now on, whoever will pass away from among us, they will be buried next to him in this graveyard. And after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam saw him after he had passed away, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam kissed him on his forehead, and his eyes were overflowing with tears to such an extent, وَدُمُوعُهُ تَسِيلُ عَلَىٰ خَدِّ عُثْمَانَ بْنَ مَضْعُونَ. The blessed tears of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam were flowing on the cheeks of Uthman bin Mab'un radiallahu anh. From this we can gauge how close he was to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When one of the daughters of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed away, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, إِلْحَقِي بِسَلَفِنَا الْخَيِّرْ عُثْمَانَ بْنَ مَضْعُونٍ. Now join the righteous, good Uthman bin Mad'un radiallahu anhu, who has preceded us into the life of the hereafter and into Jannah inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with him, and may Allah ta'ala also please him, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all husnul khatimah with iman and upon Islam, and grant us the tawfiq to live a life that will lead to Jannah and his pleasure. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.